Hey, my sermon today, promise, from the world or from God. It's gonna be a short sermon because everybody was trying to talk me into canceling everything yesterday. But God didn't tell me to cancel, so that's why we're here. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this time that we can come into your house, Lord. I just thank you for the thoughts that you gave me over this week to deliver in this message, Lord, and I just ask that you be with everybody that's here, Lord, and we ask with the congregation that's not here, Lord, that they're staying out of the heat. We know today's a hot day, Lord, and we just ask that everybody stay safe. We just ask your blessing on this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to see how my technical difficulties work because I'm using something new. The pastor loves it, so it's got to be simple, right? So, what? Yes, it's being recorded, and I make sure the pastor listens to it. Okay, no, I hit too many buttons. Wait a minute, these slides aren't right, are they? Oh, I hit the fast forward one. See, I already have technical difficulty. Promise is a noun, a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. What happened to all those firm promises of support? He took my fax number with the promise that he would send me a drawing. I don't keep my promises to go home early. How many men have done that? I'll be home early. Don't worry, honey. And it doesn't happen. The next one is a verb. Assure someone that one will definitely do, give, or arrange something, undertake, or declare that something will happen. Give God good ground expecting a particular occurrence or situation. So, I hope you guys brought your Bibles, because I figured we'd flip, because you can fan. I've got some scripture that I filled in later as I did this, so some of it's not going to be on the slides, but promise from the world. What are some of the promises from the world I thought of? Well, money. Money. The world promises you money, right? Look at that. The world promises us that. That's only $10. Who promises to back that? Well, we got God we trust, but who promises to back this? The government. The government promises to back that. So, we don't use the gold standard anymore. We use fiat money. That's what it's called, fiat money. The government's going to back this. So, right now, our government debt is 101% of GDP. 100% of our GDP is government debt right now. 25% of that is interest. So, our world debt, everybody in the world, businesses, governments, the world GDP is 351% borrowed on the world GDP. So, we spend 51% more than we take in or can make. Yeah, that's why we don't have AC. So if you'd turn with me to 1 Timothy, verse 6, or chapter 6, and verse 7 through 10. So one of the rich things that the world can provide us is money. In 1 Timothy 6, 7 through 10. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we can be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires
that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So we bring nothing into this world, and we're going to leave with this world with nothing. So our desire shouldn't be to try to get that money that the world promises us. Some other things that the world has is maybe prestige. You get a certain position, you want that prestige. How about wisdom? The world thinks it's very wise. We've got all these wonderful colleges that are educating our children, and the wisdom is just pouring out. You can see it in society today. If you'd turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. I'll give you a minute. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 20. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. As is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. Again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are futile. So the wise of this world is futile. Who is the ruler of this world right now? Satan. If you turn to Revelations 12:9. This isn't fanning me too good. Revelations 12:9. The great dragon was hurled down to the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He leads us astray. With this desire for wisdom, money, knowledge, I've said this before, that some of the pursuits that we have in life, it's a goal for everybody to own a house. That's the American dream, to own a house. But how long are you in debt for? Usually 30 years, right? So say 5-10 years into your mortgage. What happens if God calls you to the mission field? He'll provide a way, but are we, by going into debt, taking away that opportunity for God to call us to the mission field? By going, some of us buy a house, it's worth $150,000, you put your 20% down, your mortgage is $130,000, it's a comfortable mortgage, and all of a sudden you want that new car. Oh, the house is now worth $250,000, so I'm going to take a home equity line, go get that new truck. I'm going to get that new motorcycle. I'm going to send my kids to college. Then the market goes down. You have to struggle. Can't give more to God because you now took more debt. If God calls you into the mission field, you wind up accumulating all that debt. See, with me, I own my own business. I'm fortunate that God has provided very well for me. But things are slowing down for me. So did I overstep my boundaries by going out and buying a new building, buying new machines? We'll have to see what God has in store for me as that goes through. I do have one thing to say with prayer, and I thank the ladies for their prayer. I have another shop that I talk to. And I've had him, he's come to church. He's not a believer, but I've invited him on Easter Sunday, and he has come to church. And I called him and told him, oh, I got this email about this shop that I do some work for. He forwarded my name to somebody. They want me to do this. And he goes, man, he goes, God is really taking care of you. He goes, have you been praying for it, for work? And I go, well, I had to be honest. Because I prayed for work before, and I get too much work. So I haven't, honestly, I'm kind of enjoying the downturn. A little nerve-wracking, but I'm enjoying the downturn. But I said, no, but I know the ladies have been praying, my wife's been praying, and he saw that somebody
God is doing something with me. So I just hope that we keep that relationship and we talk about it. We talk every so often about God. Ever since I've invited him to one Easter Sunday, he came here. I've had him over for Easter a couple times to my house. I invite him. If he doesn't want to go to church, I still have him over for Easter Sunday. And that's how you build relationships with a non-believer, is just getting out there, getting with them. So let's get back to promise or promises. God is not human that he should not lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Numbers 23 through 19. The Bible's full of promises. Full of promises. On my last slide, which I don't want to get there yet. I know some of you want me to get there. You can find anything on the internet. The internet is not bad, all that bad, but it's not all that good either. But some predictions are that there's over 3,573 promises in the Bible that occur. Some of the scholars say that in the King James Version, there's over 50 promises in the Bible. So the Bible is full of promises. He has promised to supply every need we have. The Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." That's in Philippians 4:19. So by his riches. So is his riches, I should have a new car? I don't think so. Is his riches that I should have that brand new boat, even though I can't afford it? Nope. That's not what he promises. He promises his riches. If we are following what Christ wants us to do and following God, we're going to want what God wants. We're not going to, we're going to think before we spend that money on, say, that speedboat. Are we going to, who are we taking it away from? Are we taking it away from the church body? Are we taking it away from our family where we're going to have to work more? I'll just work a couple extra hours so I can afford that. It's no big deal. But then all of a sudden, your kids are 18 years old and out of the house. Because I do have a son that still lives at home. He's 20. He pays rent, but he tells us we're going to have to move. Excuse me, I need a drink of water. I'm dying up here. So are we unable to support that missionary because we decided we wanted to spend that money on something else? Or are we doing everything God wants us to do, and then he gives us the ability to be able to go and buy that boat? Because God can give us the ability to go. There's no reason we can't have things. Everything on this world is for us to enjoy. It's just, at what cost are we going to enjoy that promise from God? So, Philippians 4:19. Now notice God has obligated himself only to extend of our needs. That would include food, clothing, shelter, companionship, love, and salvation through Jesus Christ. It would not include all the luxuries of the world. We're going to have all those luxuries that we need when we get to heaven. There's nothing on this earth that we need. Everything we need is in heaven. And that's what we should be striving for. God has promised that his grace is sufficient for us. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me." We boast in our weakness. Christ boasts in our weakness. In fact, he has made a provision for our salvation by his grace through faith. If you turn to Ephesians 2:8.
Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God. A gift from God that we are saved. It is through an obedient faith that we have the access into the grace of God. According to Romans, if you turn to Romans 5:2. My pages are sticking. It must be hot. Merrily said this morning, this might not have been a good idea. Because then I had to turn on the lights. So Romans 5:2. And hope does not put you... Oh, 5:2. I'm reading 5:5. Sorry. 5:2. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So we're not boasting in ourselves, in what we can do. We're boasting after we receive Christ. We're boasting in Christ's... what Christ can do for us. And we're boasting to the world about Christ. That's what we should be boasting about. Not about, oh, I got that job promotion. It's great you got that job promotion. There's nothing wrong with that job promotion. But you don't want to be boasting about you all the time. You want to be boasting about what the Lord is doing in your life. God has promised that his children will not be overtaken with temptation. Instead, he assures us that a way of escape will be provided. This promise is recorded in 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except No temptation has overtaken you except that is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God knows what you can handle. The temptations that come into your life, he's going to provide that way out. He's going to provide that person to help you, that mother or father that can help you, brother or sister that can help you, your pastor. Everybody in this church is a family. Anybody can help you with any problem, any temptation you have. Anybody would take that call. It wouldn't matter if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. They would take that call to come and help you guys. Anybody. Jude wrote, "Now unto him he is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Jude Verse 24. Look what happened. Darius the king said to Daniel that the God whom thou servest, continually he will deliver thee. In Daniel 6:16. So he delivered Daniel from the den of the lions. God promised that he'd protect Daniel. That same promise is the protection for us. We're not going to get thrown into a den of lions. But we are thrown into this world, and there's some lions out there. But those lions that are out in the world, are we encouraging them? Are we sitting around that table listening to that dirty joke and not saying, "Whoa, you can't be telling me that"? Or are we looking at the... You hear about construction guys whistling at ladies going down the road. Are we doing the same thing? We're just not whistling verbally, but we're whistling in our mind? Are we letting those lions in that way? Are we going out and seeing that movie that it's the most popular movie right now. I don't want to be left alone when everybody talks about it. I need to see that movie. Are we doing that? If you haven't been following... Sam did an update on our Facebook, right? Last night, he had an update about watching Chosen. We watched all four of them last night. It's an amazing movie. It's a different view of looking at how Jesus came and served on this world, and it is very good. And people are stepping forward, and the guy is asking he's not asking for donations. He's asking for investments. You're investing into it, and you're investing into people's lives to be able to see that. And now they're working on the next 5 to 8 seasons. So it is, if you notice now, there's a lot of movies that are coming out with God. God. Has it become profitable now? That's what it seems like. The industry has realized, wow, maybe people don't really want to go see that movie with every other word is the swear. You can't, nowadays it's next to impossible to find a movie that you can take, a whole family can go and enjoy. It's just amazing. So I'd encourage anybody to go see or watch that streaming, Chosen. You can see it was live streamed. It'll be interrupted with commercials. You can speed through it, but I'd listen to some of the posts that the people had put up there that really support that movie. God has promised us victory over death, his first resurrection by way of assurance, our resurrection. Peter said, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whoever we are, all witness." Acts 2:32. So God raised Jesus Christ from the grave. So if God promised to do that for him, that's the same promise to us. As long as we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we get the exact same promises as Christ. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "For I deliver unto you the first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. "For what I receive I have passed on to you as for of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he raised on the third day, that according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared." Christ appeared after he was raised to prove that God holds his promises. Later on he adds, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us to the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And if you look in 1 Corinthians 15, 57. I shouldn't have closed. 15:57. "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will also have the victory over death. That victory isn't just for us. That victory is for all of us to go out and share to everybody else. God has promised that all things work together for good to those who love and serve him faithfully. It may be difficult for us to see and understand how this is accomplished at times, but God has promised it, and he will deliver. Have you ever wondered how God's going to do something in your life, and then all of a sudden, it happens? I think I've told this story before, that my son had had a couple seizures. And the last seizure he had was a pretty bad one. And they wound up, God was graceful. He was at the, we were skating at our pond, which is right next to our neighbor's house. And our neighbor has gone through seizures before. And as soon as Charles went down and went into that seizure, he took over. I wasn't there. He wouldn't let Merrill Lee do anything. He took over. And, of course, Charles had the stuff that you inject in your butt that takes care of all that. And he did that for him, and he stopped seizing, but we had to go down to the hospital. And then another neighbor wound up, nobody could get a hold of me, and another neighbor wound up getting a hold of me, and I wound up meeting him at the hospital. And God is graceful. When he came to, he could not move his right side or his left side. One side he was completely paralyzed. And we didn't know if our life was going to change dramatically with that. But by God's grace, he provided the right doctors. He gave me the right peace to not get angry. And because I was younger then, I could get upset at God. I'm sure everybody has gotten upset at God when something's happened. But he provides the way for everything. And by God's grace, he just gets tired and he might mope a little or drag his feet. He would drag his feet as he got tired. But now that he's 20, I think he's pretty much outgrown that. And I really think, because he knows Christ. He may not be walking with Christ, but I think Christ was trying to get a hold of him at that young age, saying, "Hey, look," because the first time he got airlifted to Maine Med, and we spent a week, and it just happened to be that God was graceful. At that time, I was slow at work, so I could spend that week up there. Isn't it amazing? So who knows why I'm slow at work right now, but it's God's grace that sustains us through everything. So, God has promised that those who believe in Jesus and are baptized for the forgiveness of sins will be saved. If you turn to Mark chapter 16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So whoever believes will be whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. So that's a promise he gives us, that we will be saved, but it's also a promise he gives the world, that if you do not bow your knee and accept me as Lord and Savior, you will be condemned. And then God has promised his people eternal life. If you turn to John 10, 27 and 28. John chapter 10, 27 and 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. So there's nothing this world can do that'll snatch us out of his hand. We may think there's something in this world that can happen to us, because this world is pretty violent. But there is nothing that'll snatch us out of that promise that God has for us. And my last verse to sum this all up is found in John 3, 16 through 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So if you don't know Christ, or you know somebody that does know Christ, you need to keep sharing that with them. And that's what I have for today. And we go to our last song.